What we see is the foundation of the gospel. We see the foundation of what we kind of neat things. So those are the things that we're going to be walking through over the summer, and so I encourage you to be plugged in to that. If you miss one, it'll be on the website, so you can go check it out. And I think we're going to enjoy this together. But today is Pentecost Sunday. It is Pentecost Sunday. It has been 50 days since the Passover. 50 days since the Passover. I don't know if the calendar actually works out perfectly that way as far as our calendar does, but the Jewish calendar would work out perfectly that way. And, of course, as we transition from worship, and I had the opportunity to share with you, then what we kind of saw, or what I kind of talked us through there was just the Holy Spirit, as the Holy Spirit fell in a miraculous way there in that upper room, as promised by Jesus. You know, in John chapter 20, what we have is Jesus, after his resurrection, that he is with the disciples and he breathes into them. Okay, we believe, I believe, and most people believe that that was their salvation, at that point was salvation. But there's a subsequent reality, there's a subsequent impartation of the Holy Spirit that took place at Pentecost. And so that's why we believe as well that the baptism in the Holy Spirit is an expectation that we as believers ought to have, that we ought to pursue. And those that have received that experience, we celebrate it and we're glad that that has taken place. And what we've seen is empowerment take place in our lives. Can you say amen to that? So you may be asking yourselves this morning, how, Pastor, are you going to talk about the Holy Spirit in the first chapter of Genesis? That's what you're asking. Miss Natalie's asking that question. And so since we have a smaller crowd this morning, it helps us to kind of narrow it in, right? Now, we knew that a number of families were going to be out vacationing today, and so I think I counted just off the top of my head 5 different families. I hope Carissa's not having the baby. Is she having the, this like really soon, the Ponders are expecting, so we remember those days, and you never know what's going to happen. But anyway, we are going to get into understanding the Holy Spirit, and we're going to see it here in the first chapter of Genesis. And so I've titled my sermon this morning, The Holy Spirit, Agent of Creation. Agent of Creation. You'll notice I didn't put an article that says the agent of creation exclusively, okay, but agent of creation because we understand the Godhead that's there. So anyway, the Holy Spirit, though, is very easy to bring into it. All you've got to do is look at the second verse in most translations. And what you'll see in that second verse is the Holy Spirit, the activity of the Holy Spirit that's taking place. There's a miraculous thing that is going on. And as God, in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And that's what we spent last week on. And so this morning we work on verse 2, but we're going to get beyond that. But what we see is the Godhead, okay, actively creating all the heavens and the earth. And then in verse 2, what we see is that we get this sense of, and the Spirit is mentioned. And so it's an amazing thing that takes place. We see the Spirit there as well. See, the Spirit's activity is inseparable from the work of God. Okay, it's inseparable from the work of God. The Spirit is an extension of God himself, and such a unique thing. There's no way, and as I was preparing for this message, I was thinking, how in the world, you know, some of these concepts are so difficult to understand in that we really don't know. And even in the Old Testament is sort of a revelation that's different from the New Testament in that same Spirit in both the Old and the New, but an interesting revelation of that. And so what we do see are some consistencies, and one of the consistencies is this idea that the Spirit is involved in creation. The Spirit takes things from chaos and moves things to order. Can you say amen? The Spirit takes things that are dead and brings life to those things. Can you say amen? Say so.
So we come to this point in Genesis, and of course, as we walk through it, day after day, there's a new creation, there's a new revelation that takes place, and so we kind of head that direction. I don't want to, and I have actually taught the book of Genesis before, and I kind of got into, you know, the idea of epic in days, is it a literal day versus epic, is it an age, all these kinds of things. And that's not my intention this morning. There are a lot of different, you know, people out there that think one way or another. I'm not even going to give you an idea this morning of what I believe, because that's not really my point. But I do know this, and that is that God created. And He created it all. So instead, what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to focus on the power and the work of the Holy Spirit as an agent of creation. I mean, focusing on the power of the Holy Spirit working as an agent of creation. So let's go to verse 2. It says there, and I'm reading from the NIV, it says, "Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters." The Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. So here we get this description where the earth is without shape, without form, it's void, it's kind of a nebulous thing. You know, what does it actually look like? And we're not here. We know that there's a darkness that's sort of there. But guess what? The Spirit of God was there. The Spirit of God was there. Can you say amen? How many of you like it when the Spirit of God shows up? It seems like when the Spirit of God shows up, those things that seem chaotic, those things that seem dark, those things that seem lifeless, those things that are in the void, suddenly He brings order into that chaos. Suddenly He brings light into that darkness that was there. And I thank God that His Spirit resides in us. So what we see is the creativity of God. We're going to walk our way through the verses that talk about the creation. And so to do that, I'm just going to kind of read them through take a moment, take a minute. But verse 3, and God said this, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw that the light was good, and He separated the light from the darkness. And God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day. And God said, "Let there be an expanse between the waters to separate water from water." So God made the expanse and separated the water under the expanse from the water above it, and it was so. And God called the expanse sky, and there was evening, and there was morning, the second day. Verse 9. And God said, "Let the water under the sky be gathered together in one place, and let dry ground appear." It was so. And God called the dry ground land, and they gathered and dug gathered water, which He called seas. And God thought it was good. Then God said, "Let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants, and trees on the land that bear fruit, with seed in it, according to their various kinds." And it was so. I like that. And it was so. The Lord produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. And there was evening, and there was morning the third day. And God said, verse 14, "Let there be light in the expanse of the sky to separate the day from the night. And let them serve as signs to mark seasons and days and years. And let them be lights in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth." And it was so. God made two great lights, the greater light to govern the day, and the lesser light to govern the night. He also made the stars. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth, to govern the day and the night, and to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good, and there was evening, and there was morning, the fourth day. Verse 20, and God said, "Let the waters teem with living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the expanse of the sky." So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing in which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas, and let the birds increase on the earth." And there was evening, and there was morning, the fifth day. And God said, "Let the land produce living creatures according to the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God said, it is good. It is good. And then we're going to pick up the sixth day next week. So there we have the creation of all the earth. We have the creation of all the life. We have the creation of vegetation and the animals. But we're a visible people in 2019. And so I want to show you this video. Jason Paul. Thank you. said, let there be. Let there be, and it was so. All of us at some point get a chance to go and visit places like that, to see those things. And we stand looking at them and can say, God, you're awesome. The place is simply awesome. And the creation is just amazing. So I wanted to just share that with you. Let you see that here. We can rejoice in what God has done and in the creation that He has given to us. And as I mentioned, what I want to do is I want to get specifically into talking about the Holy Spirit as we look at creation. Interesting, because when you look at some of those characters of animals that have been created, we can't necessarily say, well, you know, it's the Holy Spirit created that one. He did the giraffe, you know. God did this one, and the Holy Spirit did the bobfish. Have you ever seen a bobfish? He did the dog. There's some weird animals out there. And but anyway, you know, we really can't say those things. However, what we can certainly say is that the Holy Spirit is creative. The Holy Spirit is creative. Not only was He creative at the creation of the world, but He is also creative in our lives. In our lives that are taking place. And if you have any question about that, just look in the mirror at yourself and you'll understand how creative God is. Hallelujah. So I want to just take a couple moments, and I want to sort of harmonize, if you will, the Godhead. We talked about last week that in Genesis 1:1, as it mentions God created, the Hebrew word that we use as Elohim, and Elohim represents a plurality of identities, but with a singular verb. It triggers a singular verb. So it is, we have the Father, we have the Son, we have the Holy Spirit, which we know constitutes the Trinity, but in it they act together, uniquely, but together at the same time. And it's true, you know, difficult for us to understand, but here in the second verse of Genesis, what we see is that the Trinity, the Holy Spirit specifically, is operating, is sort of hovering in the NIV as it translates it that way. So you see that that's taking place. Throughout the Bible, what we see is the Godhead working together. The Father, in Acts chapter 4, verse 24, shows us that God the Father is the maker of heaven and earth. And He is the maker of heaven and earth. Is that exclusive? Is it standalone by itself or not? Not necessarily. It's not designed to do that. But what we also find is that the Son is a part of creation as well. You see that in the New Testament. In fact, John 1:3, and I don't have it for you, but it says this: through Him all things were made, being Jesus. Without Him, nothing was made that has been made. So He is the living Word through whom God spoke the world into existence from the beginning. He was the mediator between God and man, and we've talked about that before. We celebrated the fact that that is, in fact, who Jesus is. And so we see the Father's action, we see the Son's action, and then here again in Genesis 1:2, we see the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is connected as well to creation and connected to God's continuing presence or providence in our lives. Say amen. I want you to know that it's true. The Holy Spirit is connected as well into our lives as life, but also that continuing providence that takes place in our lives. You see it in Genesis 1:2, which we mentioned, but I'll read it again. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. We're going to come back to that in a second, but I want to take you to Psalm 104, verse 30. It says, when you give them your breath, and I think we can draw ourselves into this, but when you give them your breath, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. When you give them your spirit, life is created and you renew the face of the earth. It's appropriate for us this morning as we're worshiping the Lord, just to have an expectation and a desiring of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. And that's just yes. Because we want to have that in our lives. So, some translators have removed the word spirit from that second verse of Genesis 1, but I think that they've done it just mistake to make. I don't stand on my own if I'm a previous scholar, okay, but I do appreciate the words of Kevin Porter to also make that same argument that it should be spirit as it is written in the NIV. See, because the Hebrew word that's actually being used is ruach, and ruach, and so this word is, it's like a breath, but it's a violent breath that takes place. So anytime that it is associated with God, or it's supposed to be on him, then what we know is that it is God's breath, or his Holy Spirit, that is a part of that. And so the things go together. It's a life energy. It's a life-giving energy that God alone possesses. It's interesting, but the Old Testament doesn't completely reveal to us the Holy Spirit in the way that the New Testament does. But when we walk through the New Testament, especially when we walk through the book of Acts, we see the amazing power of the Holy Spirit as it operates creatively in our lives and in the church's life, and as a corporate temple, if you will, as well. Alistair Begg quotes, and they attribute this to Augustine, and so many of you probably have heard this before, but there's a saying that says that the new is in the old. Concealed. The New Testament is in the Old Testament concealed. The Old is in the New Testament revealed. I've heard before, I've had conversations with people and they're kind of, resistant to get into the Old Testament because it looks just pretty, honestly, sometimes it can be confusing, it can be lengthy at times, it can be sort of perhaps dry. But when you begin to understand that the Old Testament is the New Testament, it's revealed in that. You begin to look at it, you begin to bring truths out of it, it becomes life to you. And you're like, man, this is awesome because I can take this scripture and I can go to the book of Acts and I can put it right here, or I can look at John when Jesus talks about the life that we have in the Spirit, and I can put that into there. Everything seems to come together because the Old Testament is the New Testament, the New Testament is the Old Testament. It's the same truth. The same reality. And in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit is often referred to as the breath of God. There's an interesting kind of a story, an anecdotal story. It talks about a boy that's flying his kite, and so the wind has taken the kite, and it's taken it up so high, there's almost no string left on it. And a man comes walking by, all he sees is just getting afraid the boy's hanging on to him. He sees the string, but the kite's so far up there that it can't be seen anymore. And the man says, "What do you got yet?" He says, "He's flying a kite." And the man says, "Well, how do you even know you got a kite at the end of it anymore?" The boy says, "Because I can feel it." How many of you know where the Holy Spirit is moving? If you can feel it, be able to sense his work in our lives, taking us into the unity of Christ. I look forward to us coming back again this evening at 6 o'clock to our true life encounter. And as we continue the Pentecost Sunday celebration and praise and worship, and grace to come back and again. Continue to feel that spirit. So let's give a sort of a quick introduction this morning about the Holy Spirit. I'm going to move as quickly as I can because I see that the clock is getting ahead of me. So let's do that this morning. So a quick introduction. And the Holy Spirit is not just a wind, it's not just an impression, it's not just a blob that's out there. The Holy Spirit is a person. And he is, in fact, a person. George Wood, the former general superintendent, said this. He says, "If we simply think about him as a power, then he becomes someone whom we try to get a hold of and use. But because he's a person, he is seeking to get a hold of us and use us to bring glory to God." See the difference between that? What he's saying is the Holy Spirit, when we understand that it's a person, that the Holy Spirit also wants it. Like, I got to get out the good news to Jesus Christ. I want to do this in their life. I want to establish this. I want to create this. And so the Holy Spirit is seeking and wanting to establish the will of God in our lives. So we need to get out of the habit of thinking of the Holy Spirit as an it. He is not an it. It's not, again, this blob of stuff. Jesus referred to it as another. Now, in the New Testament, in the Greek, when somebody uses the word another, it can be two things. It can either be completely the opposite, like another is sort of juxtaposed, completely opposite of one, context doesn't bear that up. The other one is this, that the another is one similar to. So what Jesus is saying, he says, I'm going to send you another, I'm going to send you a comforter, that another is similar to me. And so you can rest in that, but it is certainly, we find that the Holy Spirit is our personal helper. We find in the Scriptures that the Holy Spirit is intelligent and knowledgeable. And this is the way that the Scriptures describe the Holy Spirit, intelligent and knowledgeable. The Holy Spirit has a will. How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit's will is that this community be saved? How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit's will is that we be sanctified? How many of you believe that the Holy Spirit is saying, I want you to be holy just as Jesus, according to Jesus, is designed for it? So there's that desire, there's that expectation that the Holy Spirit wants to take the gift and all these things that give it to us and wants to empower it in our lives so that we can be a vessel that is useful for Him. So why would it matter? What would the difference be between sort of, agreeing that it's just a philosophy, the Holy Spirit's just a philosophy, it's a theological truth, it's just sort of an idea that's out there or a concept out there, as opposed to the Holy Spirit being a person of who He is? Well, I'll give you three reasons. Number one is worship. If you believe that the Holy Spirit was just a concept, just a theological thought process, then you missed out on worship this morning. Okay, the songs that we sang, the lyrics that we said this morning were all implying that, they were directly saying, okay, that the Holy Spirit is a person. We come to worship. We have an expectation that the Holy Spirit come and meet with us and do some amazing things in our lives. And so it makes a difference for us in worship. It makes a difference for us, secondly, in our Christian living. It's important to discern if the Holy Spirit is a source of power, this is what George Wood said, to augment human limitations. Hey, is it just sort of like, hey, this is a boost? It's sort of like drinking blood, it's all nonsense. Some people can knock. They said, well, I just need this to get me through the rest of the day. That's just what I need. So is the Holy Spirit just that? Is it just sort of a supplement for us to be able to do these things? Or is He a dynamic personality whose will, intellect, and feelings interact with believers' lives? Well, I think as we look at the book of Acts, and we see whether it be Peter, whether it be Paul, whether it be Stephen, and see all of them interacting, and the Holy Spirit interacting in their lives, what we find out is it wasn't just sort of a boost that makes, Stephen stand 2 foot taller, right? It is the Holy Spirit is a person that drives him, that comforts him, that directs him. And then thirdly, in spiritual experience, it's important for us to understand and to discern if the personality of the Holy Spirit is manifesting the gifts of the fruits of the Spirit in and through believers. In other words, I heard it said this way, and we stole this from our Chi Alpha friends up in San Diego State, but it is this, it says, if the Lord wants to do through you what He's done in you. He wants to do through you what He's done in you. Talk to some of the leaders up there, and one of the things that has really driven that philosophy of how, I'm like, man, how do you get all these college students coming from so many different backgrounds and all that kind of stuff? You get all this, the baggage that comes with that. And they say, well, we come back to this. And it's what God has done in you, He wants to do through you. And so is it operating? Is what Christ is doing in your life, is what the Holy Spirit is doing in your life, is it experience being experienced to the practicality between Monday and Saturday? Or is your Christian experience, which is what they're implying, is your experience just simply on Sunday morning you figured out how to paint the picture onto your face and you look good, you're doing the worship right, you're doing the response right, you're doing the amens in the right spot, rhythm is good, okay, but you're not experiencing between Monday and Saturday the power that you're professing on Sunday? So that's the question. You see, if the Holy Spirit is, in fact, truly the person of the Godhead that see at creation and creating the world, then that's what's happened. That's what's happened in our lives. So moving quickly along, the creativity, I want to talk about the creativity of the Holy Spirit in you. As we were watching the video, I wish that I had gotten a better, higher quality picture than that. You know, it would have been nice if it would have been in even 4K, it would have been nice, but 8K or, you know, bump it up from there. Who knows what's up in 16, 32K, you know. But anyway, to be able to enjoy that, be able to see that, and to see that creation, and to see all that, just the amazing things that God has done in real color and in real life, just animated before us. The reality is that He wants to do that in us today. He wants to breathe into us. He wants to put new life into us. Breathe that life of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit continues to creatively work in us and take hold of us. In Isaiah chapter 68 and verse 4, it says, "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay, and you are the potter. We are all formed in your hand." I love the image of the potter's wheel and God sitting at it. Of course, He is speaking in this context of national Israel, but I believe individually as well, He is still the potter, and I am still the clay. And as I'm on that table, turning, He's working me, He's working out the hard spots, He's getting me to move in the direction that He wants me to go so that I become useful for Him. He has every right to stop and interrupt the process, to rebuild the process, and start again. And say then, I think that we have to understand, we have to appreciate that He's the Father. We are just simply that clay, but we have been formed and we have been shaped. One of the things that we say here at our church is that you have a shape. And you have a shape. You have the act, the spiritual gift. You have the heart. You see it up on the screen behind you. You have the heart that God has created for you. You have abilities. You have personality. You have an experience. And I want to move through this kind of quickly, kind of short on time. The first thing that we really get is this affinity. Every one of us are unique. There is something that uniquely moves you. It uniquely moves you. When our kids were little, if they needed sympathy, they went to Mom. I'm just telling them. It's the way it is. However, if they got a severe cut or something, they came to Dad. Dad would take care of it. I was like, okay, you don't need a tourniquet. We're good to go. Wrap it up, bandage it up. Okay, you're taking care of it. So he was sort of panicked in that kind of situation. But they came to Dad. That was my idea. That's where I was. But if they wanted the compassion and all that kind of stuff, I love my kids. You know that. Okay, but I wasn't Mr. Compassionate. I'm like, you got to remember, too, you know, I'm going through 24 years in the Army at that time. I'm going to, like, suck it up and drive on. Get up! Go! My affinity wasn't that direction. I've learned, you know, how to listen and how to empathize in that way, but it's not my affinity. It wasn't that movement. There are certain things that move me. And you know, there are great things that are out there that help you kind of narrow that down. If you're really looking for something, strength finders, that's a great way to do that. We have different abilities. And we have different abilities that we are able to do. Sonia is able to do things that I can't do. There are things that I can do that Sonia can't do. There are things that Cindy does better than I do. There are things that I do that are better than Cindy. We can go on ad infinitum with that. Just keep going. And each one of you has something different. And that's why the body of Christ is so brilliant. Because we're able to do that tonight. And if anyone's interested, we're having kind of our first official creative meeting after the crazy first night. And so trying to get creative together, and I'm sort of the ringleader of it, and I'm not necessarily creative. So I got to kind of, you know, they say take creative, put creative in the same room as folks with a burning cast. You don't know really if they're going to do where it's going to go. But so I'm like, okay, this is going to be a lot of fun. But we're going to sort of do that, but it's taken. We need your ability to be able to do that. There are other people like Ashley back there who can understand all the, you know, workings of a computer and all those kind of things. It's like, we need that skill in the body of Christ. We need to be able to take each of your, all your skills from that. We need it in the body just to be able to help one another with all these things that can look at a deck and say, I want to build a deck off the back of the house. I can tell you how to do it. This is the way I would do it. This is the way I would attach it. This is the home I would buy. All that kind of stuff. I think that way. But that's my abilities. Abilities are different. We have different opportunities. And sometimes we have to look at the opportunities that are being afforded to us that the Spirit is opening up. Sometimes it's like God has opened a door and you're standing in front of it going, I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do. Well, the door's wide open. Go through the door, maybe. Here's an idea. This opportunity is there for you. Step into the opportunity, and does it always need to be perfect for you? No. Okay, but there are these opportunities that are being created for us. We've been formed spiritually to the same end. Spiritually, that God has done for us. In the third chapter of John, Jesus says to Nicodemus, he says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And so there's a formation, a spiritual formation that takes place for the Spirit for us to be able to have a relationship with God. Each of us have been created with a purpose. Just like the earth was created with a purpose, as the Spirit there in verse 2, and then suddenly from it emerges these 5 days of creativity that take place. One thing after another, all of the creation takes place. In the same way, we have been created with a purpose. The Holy Spirit wants to use you. The Holy Spirit wants to use me. I love the Old Testament. As you walk through the Old Testament, what you see is the interactions that take place with the Holy Spirit. Now, what's unique of the Old Testament is that the Holy Spirit tends to be momentary or occasional types of things that took place. In the New Testament, we see the continuum of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. That's what Jesus did for us. Can you say amen? Is everybody there looking theologically? Okay, in the Old Testament, it was occasional. So, for example, Gideon, right, scripturally, what it says is the Holy Spirit clothed himself with Gideon. And Gideon goes and does some amazing things. Samson, strength beyond his own. Right? Nobody could understand. Samson wasn't the rock. I mean, when you looked at him, it wasn't bulging muscles, and it was like, this guy's obviously the strongest man in the whole world. Right? The Philistines kept yelling, why is this guy so, what's the big of it? What's the deal? Where's his strength come from? He doesn't look like he's going to get the nerve. I don't know. But under the influence of the Holy Spirit, many things took place in his life and on and on. I'll give you another one in Genesis chapter 8, when after Noah's flood and the waters were on it, the waters were all over the earth, the scripture says that the wind came. The Hebrew word is ruah. The Spirit of God blew on the waters, and the waters receded and all went away. The Spirit of God operated in our lives. And the thing is that he has provided for us spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts. I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Because in his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. And we'll read that again. In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it's giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have a gift for showing kindness to others, do it gladly. So what we have here is spiritual gifts are imparted to every one of us. And he's saying, I've breathed it into you. I have ruach, or in this case, in the New Testament, pneuma. Okay, I have breathed it into you. Do it. Do it. Here at church, you know that one of the DNA fabrics that we have here is that safety to serve others. Safety to serve others. How do you do it? You do that by taking the gift that God has given to us, and you begin to be able to share that. That as God has given us the power to use that gift and given that gift to us, then we begin to do it. So there are sort of, you can take those sort of nine gifts right there. They're kind of broken down into three main categories. The one being prophetic gifts, or these are talking gifts. Now, if all we had are three spiritual gifts that are talking gifts, then we would have no problem getting inspired, but we'd have a problem getting things done. Somebody's always cheering us on. It's like a coach in a locker room, but no team. Cheer, cheer, cheer. So we have a hard time getting it done. The next three gifts are what are considered to be priestly gifts, or they are serving gifts. Right? If we had only exclusively serving gifts in our church, then we'd have no problem getting things done, but there would be no direction for getting things done. We just randomly get things done, everything's done, but we don't know where we're going. Don't know what's happening. And then the kingly gifts are lastly, these are leading gifts. They are leading gifts. They help us to understand where the group, you know, what the group needs are and where that group is going. Point being this is that we need all those gifts together, working in harmony, to be able to fulfill the things that God has called us to. And that the Holy Spirit wants us to do this, but creatively doing our lives. So I leave you with this question. And that is, are we willing? Are we willing? Could you imagine the world which began in, you know, in verse 2 at that point, without form and void, darkness covered it all over. Then God comes in and says, hey, let there be light. You know, light comes, and the world goes, I'm good. That's all I want. That's all I want at that point. You know, I'm good with light. That's the main thing. I got the main thing. What a thing that would be. But the reality is, I think that the Holy Spirit wants to do something creatively with every one of us. He wants to do something creatively in our lives, and oftentimes we're going, you know what? That's good. Look at that. That's good with what you've done. And everybody's waiting for some vegetation in their life. But they're waiting for some animals. They're waiting for, you know, some continents, some landmass to take place. But we're holding it through that and not allowing it to take place. What amazing things would have been missing if the world would be here. And what amazing things are missing in our lives if you don't allow the Holy Spirit, the same Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus, creating the beauty of the world, if we don't allow the Spirit to work in our lives, in our church, in our community. And that's the standard of people that are praying. And we're going to say this, we're going to agree as a church. We're going to allow the Holy Spirit to help you. Can you agree with me on that? Lord, we come to you right now. We thank you, Lord, for the beauty of the creation. We thank you, Lord, that we have seen in it. We've seen the Holy Spirit as amazing of creation. Lord, what we also understand is that we are dependent on you. We're dependent on your Spirit. We want to have the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Lord, we pray that you would fill us, fill each of us with your baptism of the Holy Spirit. Lord, but that's a place to begin. That, Lord, from that, oh God, that your spiritual gifts would continue to work in our lives. Lord, that we would be tuned in, that we would be listening to your Holy Spirit as his will speaks into our lives, as he directs us. That, Lord, we would know that we need to go perhaps this from the other side of the boat. We'll talk to this neighbor or that neighbor.
We'll know that the season may be ripe for us to be able to speak to that loved one that we've been praying for, that we've been interceding for. Lord, that you give us a boldness that we've never had before, that you'll give us life beyond what we've ever dreamed, and that your purposes and your designs would be established in our lives. Lord, help us not to hold back. Help us not to walk in fear. But Lord, help us to just simply say yes and bow ourselves before you. Have your way in our lives. Lord, be creative. Lord, we rejoice in you. Ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. If you'd like prayer this morning, If you'd like to just simply say, I want more of the Holy Spirit in my life, then I'm going to invite you to come on up to the front. Just surrender yourself to the Lord. Say, Lord, have your way. Spirit, touch us. Touch us in a powerful way. In the name of Jesus, amen.